Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello, it is Stephen Scott back with you here once again, along with Robin Christofferson. Hello to you, sir.
Hello, I am here. Hi, guys.
Now, look, I have to say this. I think contractually we have to say every couple of episodes that you are the head of digital inclusion from AbilityNet. Did I get it right?
That's me. Yep, perfect.
I've got to do that because then you go, oh, you don't get grumpy then. You know, it's like when I don't eat, as Andy knows. Andy's here!
Hello. How are you both?
Well, I'm all right. I can't say anything for him, but I'm all right.
You'll also have to mention Robin being in the top 100 thingy bobs as well soon.
The top 100 thingy bobs? Is that a thing? What is that when it's at home? Yes, are you not one of the most influential people on earth?
Well, top 100 in digital government. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's terribly boring.
I have no idea how that happened.
Right, okay.
But yeah. The United Nations, Harvard University, all these kind of NGOs voted for the top 100 most influential people in digital government. And for whatever reason, I'm on it.
Yeah, for whatever reason, yeah. Yeah. So, well, look, no, congratulations. Round of applause for a man. Oh, well done, sir. Well done, yes. No, that's good. That is quite impressive. What list would we get onto, Andy, do you think? I think for me, it'd probably be...
I dread to think.
Well, food-related, some kind of food pie-eating competition, perhaps. Number one. Yeah, I could probably be quite good at that, actually.
We're in the top 100 radio shows for blind and partially sighted people on a radio station targeting blind and partially sighted people.
Called RNIB Connect Radio.
Called RNIB Connect Radio, based in Partick in Scotland.
Yeah, but we're number one in our time slot between one and two on a Tuesday, for sure. Yes, well, look, we've got lots to talk about because it is a technology show. We're looking so forward to today's programme because we've got lots of news to talk about. And tons of emails, guys, finally. We're getting into these emails. I can only apologise. It's all Andy's fault. Well, I just decided that. Right, but before we get into the emails, we are going to go to the phone lines, actually, and we're going to speak to one of our lovely listeners. Now, you may have heard this name more than once on the show. Her name is Kelly Muggeridge, and she is from West Sussex. Hello to you, Kelly.
Hi, Steve. Hi, gang. How
hey.
Are you? Yeah, we're all together.
Thank you so
great.
Much.
That's great.
It is lovely to have you here. We're so glad you called in. We're so glad you got in touch because we hear your lovely emails so regularly and I believe you're a fan. So please give us some Tech Talk love, will you?
Oh, don't we love Tech Talk? Don't we love technology? Can't be without my technology. It's part of my life. It's a necessity. I just can't go anywhere without it. If I don't have my iPhone, I'm lost. If I don't have my Apple Watch, I'm lost. If I don't have Lady A, I'm lost. If I don't have my computer, I'm lost. I've got to have technology there. And then, even when I want it, I've got to have it. My life is just around it.
And that's the thing. A lot of people who will listen to this show will say, well, look, you know, you're one of those, Kelly. You're one of those people that have embraced it and you've got on board with all of this stuff and that's great. But, you know, maybe there's people out there who are sitting, listening, thinking, do you know what? I don't know how into this technology thing I am. I don't know if I can be bothered learning how a smartphone works. What do you say to them?
You just got to grin and bear it until you actually start giving it a go. And if you don't give it a go, then you'll never know what it's like until you actually start using it. That's my answer to that. Start off with Synaptic, and if you can get on with Synaptic, then use VoiceOver because they're both like similar with each other. The difference which is... The difference between Synaptic and VoiceOver is obviously you've got to double tap on everything or you might have to use a rotor depending on what you're using it for. Whereas with Synaptic, you just simply let go. It just horses for courses, really. You just give it a go. You don't know what things are like until you really had a go at it, until you experienced it. Because technology will just simply change your life forever. It really would. And
okay.
And you might think... I don't know, this is too complicated, but believe me, it does become easy.
Right, now, I know that you've got a list of items that you use regularly, and you wanted to share that list with us, your top five gadgets. It sounds like your list probably extends beyond five. But...
No, I've only got five, I promise.
Okay, well, let's start with the first one, a talking microwave. I mean, that's a really interesting one to throw in right away at the top of that list, because, You know, everybody's going to say, oh, it's the iPhone. It's got to be the iPhone. Maybe that'll be number one. Who knows? But let's talk about the talking microwave. What's so great about it?
Well, the thing about the talking microwave is the fact that, you know, Cobot have been making these things for donkey's years. They've been going a long, long time. When you put bump on a normal microwave oven, you don't really know where you are. Basically, you've got to try and guess how long you've actually had something cooking for, whereas with a talking microwave oven, you've got peace of mind, you've got information there, you've only got to press the timer button, it tells you how long something is cooking for. You know, you're not doing any guesswork, basically. You know you've got it on the exact temperature. You know, bump-ons don't really give you as much information as what a talking microwave would actually give you.
Okay.
And I think a talking microwave is so much better because then you haven't got to rely on a sighted person putting on bump-ons.
Yeah, and also the whole thing talks, so it makes so much sense. And Robin, are you a talking microwave user? Have you tried one of those out?
Yes, but our Cobalt one is elderly. It's long in the tooth now, and every so often, I don't know if anyone else has experienced this, but it makes a horrendous white noise kind of sound, and you have to turn it off, and you have to wait for a very long time. And half the time when you turn it back on, it's fine, and the other time it just goes straight back into making that horrendous noise. So,
are you sure that's a talking microwave? That sounds like the TV from Poltergeist.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm looking forward to, or I'm looking ahead to when it dies, and I'm hoping that the A-Lady enabled microwave, which is the number one best-selling microwave in the US last year, the Amazon one, will eventually come over here, because I absolutely agree with Kelly. You can't have full access to something which has just got the odd bump on. Most microwaves these days don't even have a dial. They just have a kind of a touchscreen thing. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, can't do without your microwave.
That's interesting, Kelly. So yeah, you could get the Lady A microwave. Would you fancy that?
I don't know whether I want that. I don't think you can beat Cobalt. I don't think you can beat it. Because I think, you know, Cobalt have been making these microwave ovens for such a long time. And even with Lady A, would you still have to guess? Would you know you've got the exact information on there? Would you know that if you're cooking, say, jacket potato, have you selected the correct power and everything? Or I don't know.
We'll have to see, though, won't we?
I think there's going to be a lot of testing.
We need to get our hands on it.
Yeah. I think it's got to be a lot of testing before it can actually be on the market. And I think what I would like to see is it being tested by blind people or blind and partially sighted people before it actually gets on the shelf, to see exactly how accessible it would actually be.
But I mean, you love your talking microwave.
I love my talking microwave, definitely.
Okay, so that's one. That is a really interesting one to kick off with. I've got one too. I've got my Cobalt one at home, and I do love it. Let's talk about the Orcam reader, my reader, as it's called. Tell us about that, for those who don't know what it is.
The Orcam My Reader is basically a camera that just fits onto a pair of glasses, and what you have is a unit, and it comes in two parts. And what you simply do is take a photograph of text, and it will actually read that text out to you. Or it might read in AV signs if you're outside, or it might read bus stops and everything. When I first started using it, it was a bit hit and miss. But then after I got used to it, I just absolutely loved it. I'm not one of these people who like to take my iPhone out in public view, because you just don't know where somebody might pinch it, especially if it's got all your personal data on it. I feel a lot safer using my Orcam when I'm out than I would do whipping my iPhone out in public. That's partly why I use it.
Well, it's interesting because Robin and I have debated this, as you well know, on this show a long time about Apple glasses, Robin, and the potential that perhaps they have in this space. I mean, you know, I kind of worry for companies like Orcam, you know, because if Apple bring out glasses, you know, and they can use this and harness this kind of technology that is in the Orcam, and I'm pretty sure it will be able to, what's going to happen to a company like this? And you know, that would then mean we'd then have Apple glasses, which I don't think is a bad thing. This is almost the Lady A microwave thing, really, isn't it? But
yeah, going mainstream.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't wait. I absolutely can't wait until we've got some smart glasses that have real smarts inside them, not just audio. Mm. And obviously, we're not going to benefit from the heads-up display if you've got no useful vision. But for people that have low vision, maybe the heads-up display will augment what they're looking at. You know, we've seen other solutions that can make what you're looking at more high contrast or put a white border around things and that sort of thing. So I am really excited about that. I mean, I agree. I don't necessarily want to be holding my phone out in front of me all the time. I do want it built into glasses. Let's hope that nobody ever gets interested enough in what you've got attached to your glasses that they want to take it off you. So, yeah.
But you haven't had that experience. You haven't had that experience, Kelly, have you?
No, because people can't really see on your all-cam what you're actually taking. They can only see that you're actually reading a bit of text.
Yeah,
they're not
quite small.
Necessarily take your. I don't think necessarily going to take the spectacles off you. They might get fascinated in what you're actually using, but I don't think it is likely that they would actually take your glasses off you, because you haven't really got any data on there, like you would do on your iPhone, for example. And you know, I think you're less likely to get that pinched than you are your iPhone.
Well, let's not put it to the test, for sure. Don't walk into dodgy areas with it, Kelly, that's for sure.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, I mean, if I was to wear, say, Apple glasses, I'd be too afraid to wear it in public, actually.
Well, that's interesting. That's actually the opposite problem for you then, isn't it? It's a case of, well, actually, would you feel safer wearing those? I don't know where Robin must live in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory or something, because you live in such a nice part of the world, it seems. You don't have any crime or anything that happens to you, Robin.
I do have qualms about having my AirPods out, and which, you know, part of it's just losing them, but part of it is that, you know, people could just lift them out of your ears and you don't have the same security that you have. You know, you don't have like the equivalent of Touch ID or Face ID on your AirPods. People could just lift them out and walk away. So I do use that kind of elastic strap. It's a sort of a stretchy thing which connects you to AirPods. So I do use that out and about for a number of reasons, but no, I feel really safe out and about. But I mean, yeah, Apple glasses, that might just be too much of a temptation for someone, mightn't it?
Yeah,
they certainly will be.
They almost have to not look like an Apple product for them to work, because you're right, people could just take them. Okay, well, look, that's a really interesting product, and I'm sure many people will have heard of Orcam. If not, of course, you can check out the website, lots of videos online about it. But let's talk about in your pockets, because you do like this, and I'm getting the sense here the theme so far anyway is specialist technology. You tend to kind of lean towards that. And I know we're going to mix it up a bit in a minute, but I am intrigued by this, because you do seem to enjoy the specialist tech, the stuff that is built for blind people, that, you know, because I guess I get the impression you just want to get stuff done.
I do. I'm very impatient. I just want things quickly. I just want to look up something very, very quickly, and I just want it within seconds, basically.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether I would say that in your pocket is specialised. I would say it's for everybody, basically. Yes, it is simple to use. And I just think it's nice to be able to read the Daily Mirror at the same time as your sighted friend would read it. And, you know, very often both my stepfather and myself will actually read the paper together and we look at the same article together. And it's just nice to have that. And it's just nice to have as many newspapers you have in one place, if you like. And I suppose talking to in your pocket is almost like talking to a friend. So it's like you're asking a friend to read you something.
Okay.
You know, it's, you know, you can sort of have a friendly chat with it, I suppose, and that's how I actually look at it.
And the closest thing to it, I guess, is the Google Home is the Lady A or Lady G, if you want to call Google Home that, Lady G or Lady A, because, you know, that's the thing, isn't it? It's a smart assistant that you speak to that gives you that information. And again, you know, although it can be used, I believe, as a phone nowadays, and you can send text with it and all of that. It is very much a maybe not a specialist device, but it's certainly a device that is specialist to what it does.
Yeah. I tried using it as a mobile phone, and I can say it's not great.
Okay.
It's not great when it comes to that, because when you try and tell it what a number is, and it dictates back to you. It doesn't tell you accurately. It's not actually what you said. So I wouldn't use it as a phone, basically. I would use it more as a media device.
Right.
Than I would use it as an actual phone.
But here's the thing. Here's where we all get together, because tell us what your phone of choice is, Kelly.
Well, if I'm going out and about?
Yeah.
If I'm going out and about, then I'd actually use my iPhone. But if I want to listen to a talking book or read a newspaper or something, I was actually using your pocket.
Okay. But you're using an iPhone and you enjoy your iPhone.
And I enjoy my iPhone, definitely.
And do you value that segregation?
Because I do value it. I do, actually, yes. Yeah. I do.
Because obviously a phone can do all of those things as well.
But you're in your pocket, can't do what you can do on your iPhone. Like, for example, you don't have a calendar on in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas you do on your iPhone.
Yeah,
you can't set reminders on your pocket like you can do on your iPhone. And you can't actually download apps like you can do on your iPhone. For example, if you want to use Soundscape, you can't use that on in your pocket.
You're selling the phone to me, necessarily that in your pocket.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, you then have multiple devices that you're carrying around. This goes back to that problem, you know, as blind people, certainly when I was younger, I remember having, you know, a bag full of technology that each thing did something separate, whereas now everything's an app. You know, you had a colour detector and you had, a note taker, and you had all these different things that now is all in one place, and that can be the challenge. But certainly your phone of choice is an iPhone. Why not an Android? Because I'm sure people will be wondering, have you tried Android?
I never used it, so I don't know anything about Android. The nearest Android I got to was a Synaptic tablet.
Right. Well, listen, I can tell you here now, don't bother with it. It's not worth the hassle.
I will say that my mum uses in your pocket and she absolutely loves it. That's the nearest I think she would ever get to a smart device. Well, she's got an Echo as well, but she uses it a lot, and for the things that you're talking about there. So there's definitely a market for it. I'm just, because you're obviously a gadget girl.
Yeah.
And you've got a phone as well.
Yeah.
So I'm just, you know, interested that you value your in your pocket as much as you do when you can do all that stuff on your phone as well. And you just want to have device tasks, you know, different device for different tasks.
Yeah, I do value it. And sometimes it's not always a good idea to stick to one thing, because if one thing goes wrong, you've got nothing to fall back on, basically.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah.
That is the challenge for me. When I was on holiday a couple of weeks back, and my iPhone just would not behave. Siri would not work at all in Canada. I don't know why. But I just could not get her to work. I could only get her to work on Wi-Fi, not on the mobile network. And then I realised how much I depended on Siri all the time. You know, when you don't have it, you're trying to use it all the time. But listen, speaking of smart assistants, interestingly, your number one choice that you have in your list here that you sent into is, I'm quite surprised at this. I thought it would have been iPhone. It wasn't.
That was
number two. But the number one, tell us.
It's Lady A.
Lady A. Yeah. Well, that's not a huge surprise in some regards, but that is more valuable to you. That is a bigger favourite to you than the iPhone.
That is my bigger favourite. I've got Lady A everywhere. She's actually on my iPhone. She's everywhere.
And I know there's a guy not far from here who does a little podcast. That I believe has now hit 1,000 episodes, by the way. So well done, Robin.
Yeah, 1,001 today, guys.
1,001, yeah.
I mean, I can totally see where you're coming from, Kelly, because it's got much of the smarts of a phone. Not, you know, the full range by any means, but it's got so much capabilities, and it's giving us a glimpse into the future where you don't have to faff on with any controls or anything in your hand. It's what we would call ambient computing, where you can just talk to the air and get the results back. And, you know, ideally in the future, maybe instead of taking your phone with you, you'd take some sort of wearable, or you would, you know, just talk to the air while you're out and about, and something somewhere would be smart enough to give you the information that you needed. I think devices are going to be becoming less and less important.
It will be. But, you know, and I think what the good thing about, you know, when we talk about voice recognition, such as Lady A, I don't know if you remember Star Trek when a person was actually talking to a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And people thinking, oh, this is a fairy tale, this is never going to happen, but it has actually happened. And, you know, it's now reality that everybody is talking to their computer, whether it be Lady A or whatever. And I'll still say that Lady A is a computer, because
yeah,
it's doing everything that you want it to, basically. And it's you could say it's actually become my best friend. I mean, you could just have a really good conversation. I mean, if I wanted to, I could ask her to sing to me if I want.
Yeah.
You know, and it's great, and she'll do it, you know.
We're seeing a glimpse into the kind of it becoming more of a conversation with follow-up mode. So, you know, you can actually, you don't have to invoke her each time.
No.
You can just add something after she's given her response, and you kind of, you know, it's a two and a back and forth, as it were. But this is just the beginning.
We are going to,
in the near future, see it where it will be a genuine conversation, and it will be, you know, a companion for some people, a lifesaver, a lifeline for others. You know, we're already seeing how useful it is for people who are isolated to keep in touch with people, to have emergency contacts and that sort of thing. So yeah, I think watch this space. You know, this is going to become, I think, a lot of people's number one device. Yeah. Where you can just talk to the air, definitely.
Yeah, but did you know that Lady A, you can now get her to whisper to you?
Yeah,
that's quite creepy, if I'm
it's
honest.
Creepy.
But it does work, and it's good, you know. And you know, I lie there some nights and I think, I want to know what time it is, and just being able to whisper the time means I don't wake my wife up. My wife could wake up at the drop of a hat, to be honest, so she'll wake up anyway. But in fact, now she wakes up terrified because she thinks someone's in the house. It's just, you can't win. But listen, it's been really good having you on, Kelly, to talk about your five favourite things. I really am glad you did that, because a lot of people out there will be, you know, I think some people feel almost bullied into certain technologies, you know, and I don't think that's right. I think it is all about choice.
Yeah.
You can choose whatever you want to use, and it's important that you know the facts about it. So hopefully we can help deliver some of those. Kelly, great to have you on. Thank you for listening, and thank you for emailing us. I think a couple of emails will be coming up soon. But thank you so much for that, and we shall hear from you again soon.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Bye-bye.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
Right, time to get into the email inbox then. Andy's there somewhere. Hello,
I'm still here. Hello.
Oh, he's still here. Well, we can't get rid of him, but...
I zoned out when you started slagging off Android, I'm afraid.
Oh, typical.
Yeah.
Right, let's get to the first email in the inbox then. What have we got?
Well, this first email, funnily enough, is from Kelly.
Oh, the same one.
The same one. She says, "Hi, gang, I have some exciting news. British Wireless for the Blind Fund have launched a brand new app called Talking Newspaper. You can now access your local talking newspapers and magazines on both iOS and Android phones and tablets. The app is well laid out and it's so simple to use. You double tap on your region, and when you find your talking newspaper you want to listen to, just double tap on it, and it automatically plays it for you. If you use Bumblebee, the app is the same layout. Roland Myers from InfoSound interviewed British Wireless for the Blind Fund, and I thought you would download that app as well. Steve, it might pay you to listen to InfoSound on that subject." I believe, Stephen, you already have.
Yes.
"Not only do I have access to your local talking newspaper on Lady A, I also have that app. It's really simple." So yeah, that's from Kit.
Yeah, that's a really interesting app, because, you know, a lot of times from British Wireless for the Blind Fund, you've had to subscribe or sign up to something. You don't have to do that with this app. You don't have to subscribe to anything. The app is there, the content is there, and you can just enjoy it. So have you tried that one out, Robin?
Absolutely. Yeah, as soon as she sent that email in, I downloaded it. I think it's really good. My only beef is that there isn't any talking newspapers in the list anywhere near me.
Well, interestingly, I checked out the list, and the only time I'm able to get access to my own local newspaper is on this app. It's not available anywhere else. So, you know, it is maybe a bit of a postcode lottery, but that is, of course, down to the people at the Talking Newspaper Services, who do a great job trying to keep up, you know, and give people the local news. I'd kind of like a way to donate to these organisations through the app. I think that'd be quite nice. Mm. Like some kind of, I know there is a talking newspaper association, but for those of us who can sort of, you know, put a few quid in to keep it going, because I think it's such a vital service. It really is. Kelly, thank you for that. What else have we got in the inbox, Andy?
This next one is from Stan. Now, this is for the woman who had difficulties entering her credit card numbers. And this is another great reason to have the Victor stream. Here is what Stan does for both his passwords and his credit card numbers. He creates a note with his credit card number along with the expiration date and the security code. And every time that either the expiration date and year changes and the security code changes, I am prepared, he says. If you're a Braille user and you have either the Braille writer or a slate and stylus, you can get paper cards and place Braille on it. I'm writing while listening to your program here in Medford, Oregon. Take care, everybody. That's from Stan.
Yeah, or you could just, you know, hand it to the next person in the queue and ask for the PIN number to be read out, or whatever it is that Robin does.
It's the easy option.
I still can't believe you do that. I think you're making this up. I think you're just doing it to court controversy on this program.
Dozens of times.
Oh, shocking. It really is. Okay, well, that's a really interesting tip. And, you know, that's the point. You know, it's one of those challenges whenever you need your details. I use the iPhone for pretty much everything. I use my Mac for a lot of things. And one of the great things I love about that is how it auto-saves your credit card information. But some websites you go to or some apps you use don't accept that. They don't work with that feature. So you think, oh, it's okay. I'll just put in my credit card information. It'll just autofill. And then it doesn't because it's not available. And you think, oh, great. So you've got to go and find the card and go through this rigmarole. The one thing I will say, though, is, and I don't know what people think about this more generally, but for those with partial sight, I think the change they're making to cards now, where you will no longer have the embossed card, you in fact will have a flat. So essentially, the numbers are just typed on or you know, printed onto the card rather than embossed on. I kind of think that's better, because one thing I've found for years is trying to get a CCTV device or a handheld magnifier to be able to read those numbers, and it's very difficult.
Yeah, and the embossing has security issues, because if somebody kind of rubs it over with something, then it can easily get the numbers off. Because
yeah, the tracing thing, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Apple card, I'm right in saying, is debossed rather than embossed, so the writing goes in rather than out. But yeah, maybe that's better for scanning as well.
I'm not going to get one of those. I think I've spent enough money with that company. Okay, Andy, what else is in the list?
Hi, everyone. This email is from Sue. The VR stream comes up trumps yet again. I've been listening to the Be My Eyes podcast via my stream ever since it became available a couple of weeks ago. I just went to the podcast shelf. I chose add a new podcast. I did a search and I subscribed. It is now in my list of podcasts and automatically downloads episodes as available. All the best and happy listening, whatever you use. That's from Sue.
Thank you, Sue. Love that idea. I do love my Victor Reader. Robin doesn't have a clue what he's talking about with this. It is a wonderful piece of kit.
I'm sure it is.
Right, let's get another email in.
This email is from Michael. Controversially, he just says, hello, Robin.
Oh, charming.
So you neglected to say. So hello, Robin. I have just listened to the latest edition of Tech Talk. I'd like to thank you, Robin, for demonstrating the sounds within Microsoft Office. Yeah. I immediately did this, and now I find it a great help. Thank you to the team for all you do and all you teach us. It's much appreciated. Kind regards from Michael.
What a star. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, I'm saying nothing. I didn't even mention my name. Charming.
Yeah. You're not involved in this.
Didn't even say anything. No, do you know what? I agree, but that was a great feature you did. I like all your features. I like that you do all the work and I do nothing. I love that. Right, what else have we got, Andy?
This next one is from Alan McDonald. He says, hi, Tech Talkers. I heard the program today and I have a blind shell mobile phone from Cobalt. And it's easy to use if you have the use of only one hand and are blind like myself, and you don't need all of the apps a smartphone has. I'm pleased that Overdrive is coming to smart speakers, as I found Overdrive was too difficult to use. Until next time, bye-bye. That's from Alan.
Well, thank you, Alan. And I can tell you that our upcoming episode of Tech Talk, we will be reviewing the Blind Show Classic, because it is returning to the UK shores, which is wonderful. It was away for a while. It was available, and then it wasn't available. Now it's back in a new form. I've got to say, sneak peek for you, it is actually pretty good. If you don't need all the apps and the smart stuff, you just want a phone that you can text on, you can call with, this is the phone you want for sure. It's a really nice little phone. And all the menus speak. You can type on the keyboard. All that speaks as well. Robin, it's a really nice piece of kit. You should try it.
It's the day for specialist stuff today, isn't it? We've had Kelly with her brilliant contribution. We've had Love for the Victor Reader. Now this, and In Your Pocket as well. So, yeah, I mean, long live specialist tech.
Sure is. Okay, right, let's get another email in, Andy.
Hello to one and all. This is from John. Yesterday, I received my RNIB In Your Pocket device. After playing around with it for an hour or two, I managed to set it up with Wi-Fi and I learned how to use it. I must say, even for a power user, the ease of use of this device has been very well thought out, and one has to give credit where it's due. The RNIB, along with RealThing, have done a great job to make it easy to read newspapers and listen to radio and podcasts. One good thing about this device is that it does not stand still. The updates for it are happening on a regular basis. It is more than useful to be able to use the touch screen, and I have put some very interesting ideas forward for making this a real killer device. I look forward as well to the new RNIB book service. One last thing now with the In Your Pocket is the ability to be able to use the Be My Eyes service. This is a real step forward for a blind person. So that's from John.
Yeah, I agree. I think the constant developments to this device is good. And, you know, obviously it's going to grow. I know the company are very keen to push more and more features, you know, regularly, which is brilliant. So, yeah, all for that. Look, we'll come back with more of your emails soon because it's time for this right now.
News from the internet.
Yeah, Robin, let's get into the news this week, shall we? Because there's lots going on and a couple of stories we didn't get to last week on the show. Let's talk about dark mode because everyone's loving dark mode. All the creatives love it. Everyone's thinking it's really cool. You can use your computer in the dark mode. Of course, for those with partial sight, it's great, but it has an added benefit, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. So they have done some significant bench testing of standard operations using both light and dark mode. They actually had a robot tapping on the screen, so they were completely comparable 10-hour long tests, and they discovered that on OLED phones, so this is the 10S, the 10S Max, is it, and the 11 Pro and 11 Pro Max, that you will get 30% more battery life if you switch to dark mode. So I think that's amazing. I mean, I'm actually surprised that having screen curtain on as a completely blind user of those phones doesn't give you masses more battery, because it's all about lighting up the pixels. So I haven't heard any feedback about that. But yeah, switch to dark mode, guys, an extra 30%.
You see, I don't know if screen curtain does still, at least as far as the phone's concerned, still do the same things. Because the screen is still on. This is what I don't understand. You're not actually turning the screen off. It just seems to be as if you've put brightness down to nothing.
Maybe. I mean, under LCD conditions, then you've got a back panel, a light panel on the back, and the LCD just blocks off that light with certain different color filters of the pixels, if you know what I mean. So making it all black is basically just making all the pixels black, blocking that back panel, which is just going to be always on anyway. So yeah, turn it down to 0%, absolutely, that will have a significant benefit across all your devices. So yeah, if you're not using a screen, guys, then turn your brightness down, and if you've got an OLED panel, then turn dark mode on, and I think you'll be confident that you're maximizing your battery, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the good things about the for blind people anyway, the phones. I mean, I had the iPhone 8 and then I switched it for the iPhone 11 Pro. I've been dancing around like a crazy person trying to, you know, decide which phone to get. And it has been difficult. It really has been difficult for me to decide. But finally, I've gone with the iPhone 11 Pro. ultimately because of the kind of stuff I'm doing with video and everything now. So I kind of want a really good camera as well. The iPhone 8 camera was okay, but people told me it wasn't as good as the 11 Pro. That does not surprise me. Anyway, let's talk about Lady A. We mentioned her earlier. She's got a new update, which I believe is in the States now, where people who live in homes where you speak more than one language, it will work for you. So you can also, you can have the device speak in, say, English and say Spanish, which would be the case for a lot of homes in America, perhaps. And in Canada, you might have a lot of families who, you have a lot of families who speak English and French. So this is quite interesting, isn't it, that this multilingual loads mode has come along?
Yeah, and I think the key thing to appreciate here is that you don't have to switch it from one mode to another. She will literally just understand a number of different languages and reply in that language. So this is massive. I think this is mega. She will get to the point, I think, where she will recognize individual people. We've already got that. She will tie to that person perhaps a language preference, so that all of the apps, all of the on-screen content can be delivered in their preferred language. I think this is brilliant. It's kind of moving towards a really personalized experience with these smart speakers.
Yeah, for sure. Let's also talk about driverless cars, because we haven't had a chance to talk about them for a while. Tell us the news about Waymo.
So yeah, Waymo, which are the autonomous vehicle arm of Google, and Renault, French car company, have started fully autonomous driving routes in Paris. And they've sent out a letter, I guess an email, to all of their customers saying that these are going to be available. You can hail a fully autonomous vehicle in Paris. I think it's probably only going to be certain routes. But it's just to say, guys, it's, you know, they're live now. This is, it's arrived. This is now the age of autonomous vehicle ride, hailing. And, you know, let's watch this space and see if there are any reports about the accessibility of the experience. But yeah, it's started.
This is pretty incredible stuff. I mean, you know, this technology is moving much faster than a lot of people have thought it's going to. I kind of predicted this. A lot of people said to me I was crazy, you know, talking 15 years, Stephen, 15 years before these things are on the road, or next week, as the case may be. You know, they're kind of already there. And, you know, I know the UK government is putting a lot of money in to this. And it does seem that it's going to start out as ride sharing or ride hailing services. So Uber, I know, is putting a lot of work into this in America. There are other companies doing the same. And of course, Google's car project continues. Apple are in talks, apparently, to create not the vehicles, we don't think, but the actual technology behind the cars or inside the cars. You know, I quite like that idea because I don't quite fancy it being run on Windows. My computer crashes too many times for that. That's the last thing. Yeah, that's not what you want.
Approach a busy
70 miles an hour, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of trials, very extensive trials in various cities in the US, like Phoenix and Las Vegas and that sort of thing, in London, in Milton Keynes, and now in Paris. But this one, I think, is unusual because this is now going to be a commercial service. Mm. So this isn't kind of like testing, prototyping, etc. This is now, okay, guys, it's commercial time. So yeah,
it's like Chico time, but commercial time.
Yeah.
And let's not forget C, the new series from Apple TV Plus. It is getting a lot of marketing push behind it right now. Its premiere happened recently, last week or so.
Yeah, so Sunday.
This week, right, okay.
We are now, it's the 1st of November that the Apple's TV Plus service will start. And this is a premiere of the, I don't know if it was just one episode or several episodes of C. This is the dystopian future drama where most of the world, well, all of the world are blind except for these two children in this one tribe. But just a flag, and I think you were saying that there were visually impaired people at the premiere, which
yeah.
is brilliant.
So a couple of tweets, yeah.
Yeah, so we haven't kind of heard officially from those people yet, but mainstream press has been all over this. They love it. They think it's absolutely brilliant. And we know that it's already been signed up for series two. So yeah, it's full steam ahead, guys. And C, as we know, is going to be audio described, as are all the TV Plus programs. And so we should all jump on this and show our support and feedback on, you know, social media, etc., our thoughts about it, because, you know, it's not a given that everyone is going to be happy with the portrayal of blind people in this society. But just to flag us also, almost like a health warning here, guys, this is not a family-friendly show. And there were some concerns originally that all of the Apple TV Plus content, the original programming, was going to be, you know, family safe and kind of quite middle of the road. But no, this is extremely graphic. There is sexual content. So yeah, be aware, guys, that this may not be your cup of tea.
Yeah, just be careful with that one. Yeah, I must say that this does really appeal to me, this series. You were involved in it to some degree because you were asked in to consult, I guess, on what people would be doing in this show, how they would act, how they would behave as blind people. Mm-hmm. Are you confident in how blind people will receive it, do you think?
I've got no idea. I'm slightly worried, but I'm very chuffed that the premiere viewing has been received so well. So as a piece of TV, it's done really, really well. And let's hope that those other boxes are ticked as well, and that the visually impaired community are also going to like it. So yeah, until we hear back from, what was the name of the, there's one person that you know in particular that was at the...
Oh, James Rath. Yeah, James Rath is a... He's become quite known because of his video work. And he also was, I think, one of the few blind people to get an interview with Tim Cook at one of the Global Accessibility Awareness Days. So,
brilliant.
Yeah. Lucky him. Anyway, no jealousy here. Right, look, we shall leave it there because, look, I want to get back to the emails, guys, because we've got so many emails to get through. So we're going to do that shortly. But first, let's talk about a new app that is being developed. And it is all with the intention, at least, of developing safer routes for blind and partially sighted people. It's called Stay On Route. Its developer is James Bryce, and he's been talking to our own Simon Pawley.
It all started basically in first year of university when I met my friend from the business school, who was actually vision impaired himself. And I got talking to him, and he was telling me about sometimes how for himself it's quite a struggle for him to travel, you know, by train or by bus, as he's, you know, not too sure where he is and, you know, how far he's got to go. So that was basically the problem. And from that, me and him worked together, and we kind of came up with a solution, which was a Stay On Route app. And that's basically how now I'm here developing the app and launching it over the summer. So, yeah.
Well, it's funny. It sounds like such a simple thing, but it can be so frustrating when you're vision impaired. I mean, I struggle, especially in the dark, to know even where I am on a route, never mind knowing when I'm going to get off. And where I live, you can ask the bus driver to remind you, but that's a bit of a hit and a miss as well.
Yeah, of course, and as well as, you know, bus as well, and trains, you sometimes get voice announcements, but sometimes you don't, and it's just annoying to not, you know, be able to not know when you are, you know, how far you've got to go. So that's kind of where the app comes in, and allows you to know, you know, how far you've got to go, and give you that alert when you're you know, bussed off or your train station's approaching. So that's kind of the whole concept of the app.
So how does it work then? How do you actually use it? I didn't realise it was for trains as well.
Oh, yeah. So at the moment, it can be used on any transportation. And how it works is, you know, when you get on the bus or when you get on the train, you would open up our app, Stay On Route, and then you would set the destination by searching in the search bar, and then set the destination. Then you select how far away you want to be alerted. So it's based on location, so 2 miles away or 5 miles away. And then you can set the ringtone to what you want, and then set, you know, vibration on or off. And then from there you press go, and then the app will now track where you are in relative terms to, you know, your location where you're going to, your destination. And that's kind of where, you know, the app allows you to, you know, relax, listen to music, do what you want, knowing that the app will alert you, you know, 2 miles away from your stop, allowing you to get enough time to, you know, get off and, you know, relax and that. So that's basically, yeah, the app at the moment. So
That's a great idea, because the point you make there, otherwise sometimes you can sit there totally fixated on, am I near my stop? So you don't listen to anything, and you're constantly keyed up for that. So that sounds like a great idea indeed. Did you have much support in developing it?
We did, actually. The university was very fully supportive of the idea, and through that we've been able to use their, you know, university contacts and all that kind of everything that comes with a university to help us develop the idea of app developers and kind of go from there. So we really did have support from the university in that. As well as the university, I haven't talked to many charities around the University of Kent, such as the Kent Association of the Blind, and they have also said, you know, how much this would be very useful for, you know, for people who are part of their community. So I'm definitely growing with the support, and hopefully we can grow more in the future.
Any plans to actually develop the actual features on it? I read that you were hoping to develop it for people who had hearing difficulties as well.
Yeah, so at the moment it's its first version, so there's a lot to go in way of creating features which will make it as fully optimised as possible for those who are vision impaired and blind, and for anyone else, such as you say, who are hearing impaired as well, with the use of vibration and including Siri and all the other kinds of features that you can add to apps these days. So at the moment we're all just starting off with a couple of the basic foundations, but hopefully we'll start to add new features of updates in the future.
Now at the moment, currently it's available on iOS only. Is it actually available to use?
Yeah, so anyone can download it on iOS at the moment. It's available now for iPhones and iPads. All you need is an internet connection or, you know, 3G or mobile data, and you're good to go. Hopefully we'll have an update and a version for Android in the future, but as a student I'm trying to work out all the finances behind that, but hopefully in the future we'll be able to have both versions out there on stores.
You'll need to go in Dragon's Den.
Yeah, maybe, possibly. Yeah.
No, it sounds like a fantastic idea. I mean I use Android at the moment, so I'll be waiting for the Android version to come out. But so you just search for the Stay On Route app, is it?
Yep, just search Stay On Route and hopefully it'll come up. Our logo is a couple of arrows and that, so hopefully it'll stick out as well. So there we go.
What feedback have you actually had then from any vision impaired people that have used it?
So at the moment, the vision impaired community, we've had a lot of, you know, a lot of it's been very good technical stuff. So it's been about, like, all the, you know, some pages are not really optimised for someone who's using the voiceover, and, you know, when you slide over it. So that's had practical feedback on, you know, which slides to add and change, and that's been really useful in having that kind of feedback from, you know, university students who are vision impaired and blind, as well as the community down at Kent Association of Blind as well. So a lot of it, it's been good.
Yeah, so you're fine-tuning it. Well, as I say, I think you should be congratulated on your invention, and I'm looking forward to having a go at it myself. It's called Stay On Route, and James Grice, thank you very much for chatting about it.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Thank you to James there, and also to Simon Polly for sharing more on that story. Interesting app. I'm sure we'll hear more about it as the weeks and months go on. And of course, he is very keen for your feedback on all of this as well. So do get in touch with us here if you want to contact James or get some information about the app. Just email techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Right, back to this thing, guys.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day.
Every day.
Here's your mail today.
Okay, back to the emails then, and Andy's still with us here. Andy, what have you got in the mailbox?
So this next one's from Darren. He says, hello, on your show last week, you mentioned the Pocket Vision app on the Honor Mate smartphone. Is this app available on all Honor phones, or is it just the Honor Mate smartphone? And where can you get the Honor Mate phone from? It would be great if you could let me know. Thanks, that's from Darren Maxwell in Northern Ireland.
Okay, Darren, well, the simple answer to that is yes, it is only the Honor Mate, but you can get it from a number of different retailers. Obviously, all of the phone shops will be selling them. It's a fairly widely purchased or purchasable phone. Is that even a word? but, you know, you can buy it pretty much anywhere. Certainly, I would check out your local phone stores You know, a lot of these phones are available on contract, but you can also get them, you can buy them out as well, which if you choose to do that. But I would advise you go and check out the whole thing first and see if it works for you, Darren. Hope that helps. What else, Andy?
This next is from Will, who says, "Hi, gang. I thought I would share my thoughts on the latest Apple announcement. The phone does look really good, and I would buy it just for the enhanced camera functionality, were it not for a lack of a home button. I know that there are gestures, which means I probably don't need the home button, although I'm not sure how well I'd master them. This means that no matter how good the phone is, I just won't be buying it. We have seen them remove the headphone jack, which, although annoying, doesn't affect my workflow too much because I use Bluetooth headphones. But the home button is one key that I use on my phone. If the home button was put back on the iPhone, then I would buy it." That's from Will.
Well, yes, Donald Trump agrees with you. We saw him tweet about that this week. He wants the home button back as well.
Yeah.
So there we go. Those of us who like the home button, we're in agreement with Donald Trump. That's how bad things are.
I don't think Will wanted to hear that, though.
No, probably not. No. But it is interesting, isn't it, Robin? More people do want the home button back, and it is rumoured to return next year.
Yes, with an under-screen one. And we should probably say, guys, that if you have a Galaxy phone then and you want your under-screen finger sensor to not be able to be worked by everybody's thumb or finger, then you need to buy a screen protector from Samsung. So if you use any screen protector other than those from Samsung, then, you know, a story came out recently that everyone's thumb will work to unlock your phone.
Wow.
So that's a bit of a...
That's just ridiculous, isn't it? And you've got to buy a Samsung protector. I mean, obviously, they've developed that, but why would you need to... You shouldn't even need to do that. That's just nonsense.
Well, if you want to protect your screen, most people will buy one, but it's the glue, apparently, that's used in your common law garden screen protector that scatters the image or something that fools the under-screen one. So, yeah, if Apple do bring it back, and they are rumoured to, either next year or the year after, then obviously it won't be subject to that kind of, or at least let's hope it won't. Apple are very privacy and security conscious.
Yeah.
So yeah, that should help, because I would, for one, miss my Touch ID and my fingerprint sensor as well.
Well, this is the one thing that I, you know, is kind of making me dart back and forth between iPhone 11 and iPhone 8 because of the fact that it doesn't have the home button. In the end, I just prefer the 11 Pro. I think the sound is a big deal for me. Speakers in that phone are incredible. You don't get the same stereo width feel because, of course, the sound doesn't come out of either side of the iPhone with the iPhone 8. It only comes out of one side. So you don't.
It actually does. It comes out of the earpiece as well, but much more quietly.
Well, yes, but not on the... Well, it depends what you mean. If I'm talking landscape mode. So in landscape mode, you're only getting the sound out of one side of the phone on an iPhone 8. unless you put your hand in a way that kind of forces the sound to go the other way. Do you know what I mean? You're not getting the sound out of both sides. So if you're watching Netflix,
Let's get some feedback, because I think any audio that's coming out of your phone, whether it's just voiceover or whether it's... I think it comes out of the earpiece as well now, but it's quieter. So if you were watching a movie on Netflix or something in landscape mode, you'd be forgiven for thinking it's not coming out of the earpiece as well. If you then turned it around so that the phone's the other way around, yeah, the whole sound would sound like it's moved over. It's just so much louder out of the standard speaker.
Well, my 11 Pro certainly sounds a lot better than the 8. But then you'd expect that. I mean, come on, what do you expect?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, let's get another email in. Maybe time for one or two more. Andy, what have you got?
Well, this one's just a quick one from Pete. He says, "Hello all. The Apple Viz podcast has two reviews of iOS 13 and how to get the best from it. I can highly recommend these two podcasts. Apple Viz is a very, very good way of learning how to use things." And that's from Pete.
Couldn't agree more. What else?
And there's probably a lot more now. Sorry, Pete. We have been tardy in our responding to some of these emails, but yes.
Yes, I know. We're catching up here this week, really, we are. Let's get another one in.
This one is from Louise saying, "Hi, Stephen, Robin and Andy. I have been using a Synaptic phone for the last few months and I find it really good and easy to use. As BBC iPlayer for the radio shut down last week, I contacted Synaptic to ask if they could explain to me how to access and use BBC Sounds. I was extremely pleased with their response. They updated my phone remotely so that the option listed as iPlayer Radio now provides content from BBC Sounds. And the best thing about this is that it's not difficult to use. Programs are listed in exactly the same way they were on the iPlayer app and can be accessed really easily. I thought other listeners may like to know this, as Sounds has received a lot of negative coverage and possibly would be difficult to access via a standard iPhone and a tablet, etc. But on Synaptic products, it is straightforward. So I'd encourage anyone who uses their devices to contact them and ask for the update. Best wishes from Louise."
Well, that's good news, Louise. I have to say, on the iPhone front, I've had no issues with BBC Sounds. I quite enjoy using it, actually. It's a very accessible app.
Yeah, and I must say that I was surprised that you had to contact them to get the update. And Louise is obviously encouraging other people to do that too. Mm. Surely this should just come.
Well, maybe it will. Maybe it's a software update that's pushed through to devices, but maybe for those who've contacted early,
yeah,
it's the quick way to solve it. You know, some of these things take a while to get through. We've got time for one more, Andy, if we've got a short one.
Yes, this one from John Gallagher in Leeds. "Yesterday, I subscribed to the 3-month trial with Amazon HD Music, and I've added the Amazon Music service to my Sonos setup. I have 2 Sonos One speakers as a stereo pair, but I do understand Sonos will only play up to CD quality. Because of this sad situation with the GGMM E5 speakers, I am thinking of getting another good speaker that could play better high-res music. Any ideas, please?" That is from John.
That's a difficult one to end on, really. Okay, well, I'll see what I can do here. Sonos speakers, good. I mean, it depends what you're wanting here, right? If you want actual speakers that you hook up to a hi-fi, that's a different ballgame. And that I am not an expert on, but I know a lot of our listeners will have that kind of setup. So feel free to feedback on this. But for me, it is the Sonos range. The Apple HomePods are good. You tend to find with these devices, you have to pair them up to get the best. If you take 2 Sonos Play 5s and stick them next to each other in a room, you're going to get incredible sound off those. I'd also say that the Apple HomePods as well, if you double them up, things get costly. But, you know, if you want a good speaker setup, it's still a lot cheaper than a decent pair of hi-fi speakers for sure, and the amp and everything else that goes with it. So, you get that, and of course you can play high-res music on those. The one that that I think is a bit understated at the moment, and I think will improve, but even today isn't too bad, and I'm going to review this for you soon. I got an Echo Sub. Now, what that is it's a subwoofer which sits on the floor, and it pairs up with 2 Amazon Echoes. Now, it could be Amazon Echo Dots, although probably better to have Echo Plus or your average Echo. With the new Amazon Echo Studio speakers coming soon, this should be pretty impressive. So all of that will be put to the test on a future episode, so do stick around for that. That's the best I can do in the time frame. We're out of time. But Robin, Andy, thank you so much for your time this week.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you all very much.
And we will catch you again very soon here on Tech Talk. If you want to get in touch, all you got to do is drop us an email, techtalk@rnib.org.uk.